Hello, everyone. My name is Tyler Selhorn, and welcome to another episode of The Remote Show, where we discuss everything to do with remote work with the people who know it best. Thanks so much for listening. The Remote Show is brought to you by WeWork Remotely, the largest community of remote workers in the world. With over 220,000 unique users per month, WeWork Remotely is the most effective way to hire. Today, we are blessed with the appearance of Daphne LaForest. Daphne is a distributed workplace consultant who is on a mission to help executives, people ops, and team leaders drive a company-wide shift toward remote-first ways of working. With 10 years of experience in fully distributed companies, she played key roles in establishing scalable workflows for growth, facilitating business decisions remotely, and building internal products dedicated to digital-first teams. Understanding that the way we work plays an essential part of a successful distributed-by-design workplace and is a key element of memorable employee experience, Daphne focuses on enhanced org design and workflows, improve employee well-being through flexibility, empowerment, and trust, async and transparent communication processes, coaching and educating leaders in scaling their departments, becoming better facilitators. And as an early advocate of remote work, she previously led the first online conference about remote work as a business strategy with over 1,500 live attendees. Recently, she launched the Remote First podcast, where every week she chats with leaders from large companies, Shopify, Slack, and Elastic, to name a few, about their experience at scaling a digital first culture. Welcome to the Remote First, the Remote Show podcast collab. Daphne, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for such a great introduction.
Yeah. So I'm really, really curious. When you think about your business and your podcast, what are the problems that you're trying to solve? What are you trying to help people accomplish?
Well, basically, the workplace, you know, had a big disruption since last year. I've been in the area for a very long time in the world of remote work for over 10 years. And I wanted to find a way to create more content around this transition to becoming remote first and helping companies in that transition. So the podcast was a good way for me to kind of give back or give advice to people to do that transition.
Fantastic. Well, we are excited to be collaborating with you and expanding the knowledge base that's out there for people to learn from the best so that they can outperform others trying to do the same. And I'm curious, how do you explain remote work to people who have a limited experience of working away from an office or a co-located environment? What's the ways that you use a metaphor to describe what's going on? When you're trying to help people be the best they can be in a remote environment, how do you help them kind of envision that for themselves?
Well, I mean, right now it's very different than how it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago, it was a lot about convincing and then saying remote work is the right way to go and it's going to be X, Y, Z benefits for your company. And right now, because everybody had a taste of it, everybody has their own opinion of it, of how it works for them or not, but they also don't need to be convinced anymore. They just need to understand a bit better how this can scale and be a strategy for long term for themselves, because many of the companies who experienced remote in the past year and a half, there's some companies that loved everything about it, but there are a lot of challenges because we were also living in an era that is very challenging. And it's to understand a bit of like, okay, what does remote really look like on a long-term basis when you also live in the normal society of not living in that extremely stressful era at the moment. So it's very different. There's not much convincing to do. It's much more about, okay, where do you want to go from here? And then let's take it from there.
Okay, let's zoom in on that. I love the thing that you brought out of that. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be great things. When you think about 2022 and beyond, when we think about remote working, that there's going to be this shift. People have experienced it. Now there's going to be a desire, just like there always was, for remote working to be a benefit to a particular workforce. When you think about the challenges and you think about the benefits, what are the things that people are coming to you to kind of answer as we think about what's next? What's 2022 and beyond for remote working? And
the first thing that comes to mind is the main challenge that I've been brought up with is mid-management. We've seen a lot of companies losing a lot of their mid-management team members because of the difficulty that comes with managing a remote team when you never did that before, because when you came from a culture of I'm in the office, I can see them working, I'm managing them, we had poor leadership or people that just didn't know how to lead remotely. So at the moment, the main request comes with leadership training. So, you know, how to train leaders to be better facilitators, better at understanding how their team is doing when they're not able to see them. So a lot of requests around that. As well, at the moment, also, I mean, if I come back to the what I see more in terms of trends, I think that, you know, we talk a lot about hybrid at the moment and how we know we're going to be a workforce, a hybrid workforce for the future. Mm-hmm. This comes with a lot of challenges. And it's not because you work well in office only and after that work well in remote only that you're going to be successful at hybrid. It's actually very difficult to be successful at hybrid. You have to have a lot of good intention to make it work. It does work. There's many companies who are successful in a hybrid setup, but have very clear and strong remote first approach to their way of working.
Yeah, we've been hearing that as a theme through the past guests here at the Remote Show, and it's interesting to hear you rhyming with them.
Nice.
Yeah, so, okay, so it's story time. We'd love to hear about your first remote role that you landed or your first remote hire. I'm curious, what's the story of your first remote role?
So I've been an employee in a remote company, but before that I was freelancing. Like many people started working remote about 10 years ago. I was in my early 20s and, you know, finished university, was trying to find a way to know what I would be doing in my life and traveled the world like many of us did, or many are lucky that they did. Not everybody can do that, but yeah, travel around and then realize that in Canada, usually where I'm come from, you only get 2 weeks of holiday a year. And I was like, I cannot just live for 2 weeks a year and then do that forever and just have 2 weeks for traveling. So I decided to look for a work opportunity that would allow me to continue working while doing what I love, which was traveling. For other people, it's other things. For me, that's what it was. And started freelancing in project management and marketing and different other things like that. Got my first role, I would say, in an American company based in Phoenix, who was working with a partner in France. And I was basically the contact in between and basically product managing and operating their product for the French audience. So that was my first ever opportunity back in 2012 that was quite concrete, and everything built up from there. Then it just continued, and I did a lot of continuation of consulting and freelancing. And in 2015, I decided that I wanted to join a team, that I didn't want to be on my own anymore. I wanted to feel what it was to join a remote company and have a job, have a career, feel like I'm part of something bigger. So I joined at that time at a company called Human Made, which is based in the UK, but has employees that when we were there at the beginning was about 20 and grew up to about 80 people. And the company has employees all over the world, time zone agnostic, quite close to the culture of Automattic. It's very close because it's also coming from the world of WordPress. So this was the most amazing experience of my life, working in a great company, be able to work, travel, have the flexibility while having a career sense as well. Yeah. And then like since then, after that, I started my own thing. I had my own family. Like, you know, I was able to have the lifestyle that I wanted, a work style or career style that I wanted, while also thinking of all the things that people want to have, having a family, having a the normal human being. You know, some people want, not everybody wants kids, but you know, some people like me want to have kids. And it's also possible to do everything while working remote. So I became very enthusiastic about the topic. In 2015, I was sometimes called the remote work preacher because I was so into the topic of like, this is the future.
Well, we are excited to be talking to a fellow evangelist, yeah, as it were. So when you think about the things that really enthuse you about remote working, you mentioned being able to travel and work. You mentioned about having the flexibility to care for a family. What are the things that you say to others when you are evangelizing, when you're trying to demonstrate the value of a work anywhere, remote first culture? What are those things that you really want to draw out? Because we have a community of job seekers and hiring managers that we work remotely. And one of the things that we're curious about is how to draw out the values that we all care about together. And what are the things that you think are those signals to job seekers or from companies that really say, this is that automatic type culture, or this is that human-made type culture that says we value the same things you value in a remote job?
Definitely. I mean, there is different part of like the evangelism of it. I used to be very individual driven on the benefits of the individual, which often we talk about, you know, a work-life balance and X, Y, or Z. The main importance for me was to say to people that it's okay, you can put your life first. We spend hours and hours a day working. You know, people focus a lot on like, who are you? You are this role in this company. But who are we? We are people who have passions, who have things that we love doing. So usually I try to say to people, it's more about putting the work around your life instead of the other way around.
Oh, goodness. It's so good to hear you say things like that. Because, you know, those are the things that we're rhyming with often. You know, and that's great that we've kind of absorbed those same phrases. You were going on, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've been saying this for a very long time, you know, put your work around your life, not the other way around. And this was always individual driven. And then after I started to get more interested into the benefits of what it brings to companies, and I started working on back in 2016, when I was doing the out-of-office online conference, was like one of the first virtual conference about remote work that was bringing all the names, you know, how the Buffer, Zapier, Basecamp of this world that were coming together to talk about. I was calling it, in quote, corporate remote work, which now is just like obsolete because everybody likes no remote work. But at that time, I wanted to talk more with companies on the benefits of it because I also wanted to create more job opportunities. I was thinking, not everyone wants to be a freelancer. Some people want to have a career, have a role, and then, you know, join a company, not necessarily having go through the freelance or entrepreneur journey. So I wanted to create more opportunities because at that time, it was very difficult to get a remote job. It was actually just a few companies that you knew were hiring remotely. It was really hard to find. It was kind of gold if you could find a company that was hiring remotely. So I was thinking the more companies that are ready to be remote, the more jobs there will be, the more opportunity there will be for people. That was a bit my mission. And then after, in terms of benefits for the company, I always said, if you put the people first and if you focus on making employee well-being, employee experience, just your company will follow as being like a really great place to work. And then the productivity and the efficiency of the company will kind of go with it. Because most of the very good practices that we go for when we are a fully remote company works extremely well at making a company much more efficient and productive in the way that the organizational design is made, or the way the operations are made, the way we are working, the way we're collaborating. It's so much more thought through that it can even be used in an office-based culture. It's just so much more efficient, in my opinion.
Agreed. Co-signed the whole way down. One of the things you mentioned was really trying to expand the surface area of companies that are hiring remotely. Mm-hmm. When you think about companies that are hiring remotely and you're trying to coach them into providing job advertisement or communicating on their marketing website, the types of careers and the ways things look on their website to say, yeah, we are remote work. We do hire remotely and we do this in highly efficient, best practices sorts of ways. What are those things that we can do to signal to job seekers that, yeah, this isn't just, you know, we tried remote working for 2020 and we're going to keep doing it because people are expecting it. How can we communicate that, yes, we're serious about this and we're serious about doing it well? How can we show that? How can we demonstrate that?
Well, you need to show by doing, of course, start there. I think that many people still will see remote work as a perk and will add it as like, you know, we do remote work. You can do it once in a while, but then the culture of the company, of the way of working might not follow. And it's going to be very difficult for these people to join a company if it doesn't feel like there is purpose, there is intention in the way that they are implementing the way they work, in the way of collaboration, communication, just the way that the company is designed in general. But on a job post, what we see a lot is hire from anywhere. We are remote, but it's not true. Many companies have a lot of limitation when it comes to hiring compliance. They have some countries they can hire in, some they cannot. So it's important to be transparent there and not sell something that is not true. That's something that I've seen a lot. And it's okay, you know, to be like, we can hire you from all of these countries. And this is, you know, the pool that we are able to hire from. And, you know, maybe with time, more and more people will be able to be hired from other countries. But it needs to start from somewhere. So if you decide that you are a EU-only company and you are hiring only from the EU, that's okay. Or if for you, it's a time zone issue, maybe you're okay to hire contractors in other countries where the contractor is possible to hire contractor compliantly in some countries, then go ahead. But then maybe, yeah, be quite transparent of where you can actually be hired from. So that's one of the main things that I see at the moment, or a certain time zone, like who's my team, where my team will be located. You can be saying you can be hired from anywhere, but then if your whole team is in the US and then you are based in Singapore, it's going to be quite challenging if there is no clear workflows that allows you to work asynchronously. So there's all these things that, you know, it's interesting when you apply to know a bit what to expect with that kind of company on the way of working.
I love that you made the transition to asynchronous workflows right away, because as soon as you started mentioning time zones, and I know that that's a part of some of the things that you talk about and consult on with companies, talk to us a bit more about how to set up a company that is embracing true remote work, true asynchronous workflows that allow for work to be done in that way that you mentioned, in the ways that where we say we're going to fit our work around our life instead of letting that synchronous 9-to-5 own us, rather that we are really embracing the opportunity to work when there aren't childcare responsibilities or travel interruptions, that we really are able to fit the working time around those synchronous moments that are about other people. And instead, you know, let our knowledge work happen when it's most convenient.
I mean, at the beginning, I have to say that truly async or truly remote is a dream, but there's a lot of challenges also that comes with that, where I always say, you know, there's one episode of the podcast was like, have we gone too far with async? Because are we like just trying to make this too much of a like, we never talk to each other kind of company culture, which is really, you know, it's a bit against our own human behavior, you know, our natural way of like being social and wanting to have some time of like having some face-to-face live communication happening, you know, creating connection. I think that's where it's interesting, where you can focus on asynchronous for getting work done and then focus on synchronous for building relationships and also have a bit more back and forth when you need it. The most important in async, I think there's different type of asynchronous as well. A lot of people define asynchronous as I write down something somewhere, somebody else can read it at a different time. So because of that, they will include a messaging platform as part of an asynchronous communication platform, which is completely untrue, in my opinion, or unrealistic, because culturally, with the text messaging culture, for example, that we have, we kind of see text messaging as something as much more back and forth and a bit more real time. So I see using a real time message like Slack or WhatsApp, people use WhatsApp sometimes for business, but as really a synchronous way of working and not asynchronous, because of the fact that there's kind of this expectation that you will have some sort of a return quickly. So what I usually say to people is to focus on first having, you know, it's okay to have back and forth, specifically for social interactions or when you need specific back and forth. It's great to work on time zones where you know you have some overlap. So like once in a while, you can have a bit of back and forth. But it's good to have a good system in place where you have a place to have a conversation, but the conversation can happen on different hours and it can be done in a very thoughtful way. So the best way to do that, there are products that exist that are kind of a like a blog, basically. There is Automatic that built P2, which we also built a version in ours and Human Made, which is each time you are wanting to start a conversation or a discussion or a specific topic, you would write down a post or like, this is what I'm working on, or like, this is what I'm looking for feedback on, or you need to start a discussion for a product decision or something like that. I come from product management background, so this is more what I know. But so you would post something there, and then somebody else can comment on it maybe like 2, 3, 4 hours later, and then somebody else can comment. And then so the good thing with that is instead of being on Slack or on instant messaging, it's a lot more like phrase by phrase, and it's really hard to go back to it and have it as a reference. Where there, when you have these kind of like flow of conversation that have everything in one place, everybody takes the time to think about what is their opinion on the topic, you know, read exactly your post, digest it, and then post their reply. And then everything is just much more thought through. This can be also done in project management tools like Jira, or, you know, people use Asana. I use the GitHub.
I wasn't going to interrupt you, but you know, my day job at Hubstaff, we have a project management tool called Task that we do the very thing that you just described. Good. And saying, hey, here's this topic, and we're going to have a comment thread and attachments and links, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I think that really is the future of asynchronous workflows, of how do we build consensus across a workforce that isn't awake at the same time, right? Yeah. So you even use GitHub, you said?
Yeah, I mean, we used to use GitHub as a base because it was a development-based company. So, you know, most of the employees were developers at that time. Now it changed, but it just started being very open source driven. And actually working in an open source way is usually very successful for remote companies. And we've seen most of the companies you hear about at the moment are open source companies or companies that worked in that background.
Those North Stars of GitLab and GitHub
and Automatic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All of those sorts of organizations have had that sort of workflow, you know, back when it was a shared project that didn't have any sort of services company attached to it. So, yeah.
And everybody was contributing remotely from different places, trying to, like, you know, make software work better and working together remotely. That's why we see a lot of development team or engineering team not having difficulty with that setup. But you do see a lot of other departments working in exactly the same approach. And usually it works very well for other departments, marketing, sales, customer service. Everything can be done that way as well. So it's just a different way of working.
Yeah, the customer experience department that I lead, we operate in those same fashions. So it is something that can be done and should be done, you know, when working in a remote environment, is to have that atomized conversations built around the work that is to be done. It really is the best way to operate when you are thinking about remote first workflows.
Yeah. And even if I could add to this,
of course,
people right now are thinking, okay, we're going to go hybrid, or we will go back and have some office also as a tool. Well, if you keep these flows, then you're much more likely to be successful at having some remote hire and some in-office hire, because you put everybody on the same level. And so people all have access to the information. This is so much more easy when you have everything online, even for onboarding new employees, where everything's accessible. You don't need to know someone who knows someone to be able to have the information you need, or ask around to be able to get something done, because there's nothing written anywhere. It's just a really good way anyway, if you decide to have a bit more office in your culture in the future and some remote, to make sure that you're building a culture of work that is equal and you know, equitable.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see the next version of remote work that has remote working as an option, even for those organizations that are going to have more of an office first culture. We can't put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak, on the remote working experience of these past 14 months. It's not going to be something that we can ignore, right? So I'm really excited to see what the both and looks like, right? Because it's not either or. It's not all remote or all in office, right? Where are you going to put the sliders on it, right? And what works for your organization? And it's going to be really exciting to see people sort themselves into company cultures that fit them better, right? And excite them to be a part of. Even just, you know, as you have focused on employee experience, like finding the companies that are delivering the experience that they're looking forward to being a part of and joining. When you think about a post-pandemic world, right? We're in the midst of a more broadly distributed vaccine situation, and numbers are trending to the better. If you think about what you would hope most for the remote working movement, in the second half of 2021 and beyond, what would you hope to see as the thing that happens because of the experience of what we've just been through?
I mean, I think that it's not just the remote work community or something. It feels like I mostly wish that companies won't be thinking, okay, now we're going to go back to normal. Because actually, a year and a half of change and challenges really teaches you a lot on your company. Mm. You learn more about your culture, about how your company organization is doing, because you were kind of forced to have the problems in your face because you saw with remote that, oh, our processes are really bad, or, you know. So I think what I'm hoping mostly is that companies will take the lead on, okay, we need to tackle this for long term, and we need to think about remote or distributed by design as a scalable strategy for our company, and, you know, be competitive and show that they continue to be the greatest company to work for. And this is by, you know, rethinking about their ways of working, their employee training, for making sure that people feel supported in becoming, you know, remote leaders. There is a lot of work to be done still.
All right. Well, you heard it from Daphne. Be reflective, right? Take this moment and do not lose the lessons that can be learned. Let's all together think back. What went well? What didn't go so well? What did we learn? What's still puzzling us? And let's get to work on answering those questions together.
Exactly.
So we can build the future together. Okay, so Daphne LaForest, thank you so much for this opportunity to learn from you and learn out loud together. You can find Daphne at daphnelaforest.com. She's on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. She'd love to help you get the best out of your remote working experience for your employees, for your company, for all of the above. Daphne, anything to say here as we say goodbye?
I would like to thank you so much for inviting me on. It was pretty nice.
Oh, it was our pleasure. Thank you so much. And blessings to you as we move on in 2021 and beyond.
Awesome. Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks so much again for listening to the show, and be sure to check out WeWorkRemotely.com for the latest remote jobs. And if you're looking to hire a remote worker, WeWorkRemotely is the fastest and easiest way to do so. As always, if you have someone we should talk to, any advice you have, or if you'd like to advertise on the podcast, please reach out to us at podcast@WeWorkRemotely.com. That's podcast@WeWorkRemotely.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.